Hey, Lord. Chaitanya Gosai.
To read the translation, you can follow along. O Lord, with such a wicked mind as this, I have fallen into the material world. But you have sent one of your devotees to rescue me. Next. He saw me so fallen and wretched, took pity, and came to me saying, O humbled soul, please listen to this good tiding, for it will gladden your heart. Sri Krishna Chaitanya has appeared in the land of Navadvip in order to deliver you, He has safely conducted many miserable souls, such as you, across the sea of worldly existence. To fulfill the promise of the Vedas, the son of a Brahmana of golden complexion and bearing the name of Mahaprabhu has descended, along with his brother, the Avaduta. Together, they have overwhelmed all of Nadia with divine ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Gosai, who is Krishna himself, the son of Nanda, has saved the world by freely distributing the gift of his own holy name. Go to him and also receive your deliverance. Hearing those words, O Lord, Bhaktivinod has come weeping and weeping to the soles of your lotus feet and tells the story of his life. So, can you set up the other? Welcome to Gita Nagari. I'm pretty sure you all know the theme of acceptance and progress. And this evening's class is to set the stage for a weekend of exploring together this very nice topic. The song that we sang was from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati. Sharanagati is a series of songs describing the process of surrender to Krishna. Sharana. Gati. The goal of surrendering to Krishna. And there are different processes or six angas or limbs or elements in the process of surrender to Krishna. And the one that we sang is from the set of songs dealing with full surrender, atmanivedana, giving one's complete self, body, mind, and words, everything, unto Krishna, unto the lotus feet of Krishna in his service. And one of my favorites, it begins with admonition. Oh, wicked mind, you brought me to this dark place and I'm suffering. And by good fortune only, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the news of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was brought by a great soul who told me that by chanting his holy name, one can become freed from the perils of material existence. So humility is the set of songs that precedes the surrender, because without humility, who's going to surrender? Acknowledging, this is the acknowledgement of our own misfortune or the circumstances in which we find ourselves. It fits exactly with our topic, which is acknowledgement or acceptance of our present situation, whatever it is. So a number of the speakers will be addressing exactly this topic: self-acceptance or self-honesty or introspecting and understanding where we are on our path towards Krishna, whatever that may be. And there are some favorable elements and there's some far more unfavorable elements, but whatever it may be, that's our circumstance. Rather than pretense, self-honesty. And then the surrender or submission unto the lotus feet of Krishna. That song presents both the acceptance and the means of progress. And I, in this little session this evening, plan to do more of the same. One verse in Bhagavad Gita expresses a similar idea. Krishna speaks to Arjuna. We can chant the verse together, huh? Yadahankaram ashritya na jyotsya iti manyase mityaisha vyasa yasya yaste Krishna prakritistvam niyokshati. If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed by your nature. You will have to be engaged in warfare. And this is pertinent to Arjuna because his psychophysical nature was, he was a Kshatriya. He had a given nature. His embodiment was such that wherever he was, he would be impelled by his nature, and there are codes of dharma according to one's nature by which one should live one's life. And failure to carry out acting according to our nature under the codes of dharma can lead to bondage. You'll be falsely directed. So there are circumstances in which we find ourselves. This is the acceptance. There are circumstances in which we find ourselves today due to our past activity. And our past activity is based upon so many things, including past free will choices. But those past free will choices are also impelled by the modes of nature and our previous karma, and it carries on. Both guna and karma perpetuate our material existence. Let's go to the next slide. Can I have the remote? And maybe I can just change it as I need to. Just bring it. Thank you. Hope it works from a distance. So here's our topic, acceptance and progress. And sure enough, it doesn't work. Oh, there we go. This is just a short statement of the theme of what we're doing together. Practical application of devotional teaching requires careful consideration of how to face life's challenges and opportunities, external realities, and a whole range of worldly existence, while simultaneously maintaining the heart's focus upon our true shelter. It's not a balance issue, it's a consciousness issue. Consciously being aware of our circumstances, and while addressing our circumstances, keeping our genuine shelter, in fact, most importantly, most essentially, cultivating our genuine shelter. Okay. There's a verse here from Bhagavad Gita chapter 13, which I'm sure some of our devotees here are familiar with. Purushak prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangosya sad asadyoni janmasu. Two parts. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying or trying to enjoy the three modes of nature. That's the Purusha part. We're trying to be Purushas, Bhunkte Prakriti, enjoying material nature. And then, this is due to his association with that material nature, thus he meets with good and evil among various species. We're the architects of our own destiny. By our free will choices, we associate with the material nature, and according to that association, our circumstance comes, the good and the bad. And from the purport, Prabhupada writes, as long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances under the influence of material desire. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances, yet he is under the influence of material nature. And the material nature that we're under the influence of, we can't control that. It's not under our control. It's under the control of the controller. And we're in the circumstance we're in due to interacting in previous ways with material nature. We have created our destiny. And here we are with whatever the good and the bad circumstances of life. And we can't change that. We can't change that. But we can transcend that. That's the progress. Next. Back. No. Just at the top part of the slide. Viktor Frankl. There we go. Some of you may know who is Viktor Frankl. If you look at the date, 1946, you can take a guess. It's World War II, or just after World War II. Viktor Frankl, it's a very popular book he wrote, Man's Search for Meaning. He was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp, a Jewish physician, psychiatrist by profession, and was thrown in concentration camp. And in the circumstance that was obviously beyond his control, he, like everybody else in that concentration camp, was trying to understand, what is the purpose of all this? Why am I in this circumstance? What is the meaning? How did it happen? And what to do? And looking for meaning is, it really gets energized. So he wrote a book after he survived the concentration camp and wrote what his realizations were. I'll just say in summary, his expression was that man doesn't need release from circumstances at all cost and thereby find happiness. Rather, one needs a meaning to life, an inner purpose for life. A Christian saying is a calling, or what God wants for you, or your service to God, or service in the world during this lifetime. And if you invest very strongly in that, your voice, I use that expression, sometimes people speak in that way, what's your place within society, the service to God that is meant for you, that you can fulfill. And when that is there, there's enormous strength, and also Krishna reciprocates with one who takes that shelter in him. So here's the statement he made. There is also purpose in life, which is almost barren of both creation and enjoyment, and which admits of but one possibility of high moral behavior, namely in man's attitude to his existence, and it's deliberately in different colors, an existence restricted by external forces. So there's external forces in our lives that we need to recognize, acknowledge. And external forces even means not just like out there, but our body and mind, because that's not who we are either. It's a kind of who. So the body and the mind and the objects of the senses and the universe around us, it's not within our control. But there is something that's within your control. That's your free will. How you choose. And that's something no one can take from you. If you surrender it, That's another thing. But it's yours. It's the actual property, not the false property, but the actual property of the living entity. There, our free will. And in that proper use of free will, that's a loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. That's our Vaishnava conception. So previously we had a retreat, some of you attended perhaps, where the theme was Say Yes to Krishna. Everybody that came got a Say Yes to Krishna button. So we were reminded about that. And there were different approaches to that topic. This is along the same line, the surrender unto Krishna understanding. But the circumstances that there's abundant circumstances in life that we don't like. I remember one of the exercises was Krishna Leela was here with us and she had a flip chart and asked the people in the audience to say things that they don't like. And it took a little while to get everybody going, but once they were going, it was like page after page after page after page. I think she stopped at like 10 or 12 pages and everyone's laughing and laughing about so many things we don't like. Okay, we have a nice long list. Now, that's saying no to Krishna. We don't like this. And how can you turn that say no to Krishna to say yes to Krishna? And that was part of the challenge placed to the, and some, little role play. So one sat here, another sat there, and there's a circumstance, and then the person said, I don't like this. And there was, the say no to Krishna voice. And then how do you do it differently than saying no to Krishna, say yes to Krishna? And what strength it gives to the person who says yes to Krishna. It doesn't mean you necessarily like that which is unpleasant, but you look behind the something that's unpleasant, you see Krishna behind that something, and you say yes to Krishna, and it brings about a change in certainly in your consciousness, and that's the position where the external circumstances can also change. So when we're unwilling to accept Krishna's arrangements for us, especially emphasis is going to those things that are beyond our control, that unwillingness to say yes to Krishna is a byproduct of our aversion to Krishna. It's just like envy of others. It indicates there's envy of Krishna, because whatever it is that we envy in others, the source of that something is Krishna. So we envy Krishna. We say, I don't like this. And this is now a very transcendental position, but a transcendentalist, a true superlative transcendentalist, we can, from our scriptures, we know there are such persons. Everything is Krishna's arrangement, and they accept Prahlad Maharaj and Haridas Thakur and so many great personalities. So how do we cultivate the saying yes to Krishna part? Make progress in the matter of taking shelter in Krishna despite circumstances that we can't change, like Viktor Frankl did. Just a little narrative of part of that book, Man's Search for Meaning. He describes he was in an iron box along with others that were in an iron box that had an iron door and an iron chain. And the daily routine was at a certain time, the soldiers would come deliberately to bring terror into the hearts of people in their little metal box and jiggle their keys and bang on the door like, you're next, but then they go to the next one and go to the next one and terror in their hearts, and then they'd open the door of one of them. And he described, you would hear people scream because they knew they're being dragged off to the gas chamber. That was it. So one day it was his turn. They came and opened the lock. The chain fell down. and he was being carried or escorted to the gas chamber. And he described, his mind didn't waver because he felt there is a purpose in my life and it's meant to be fulfilled. It wasn't like praying to, please have this guy fall dead so I can survive or something. What happened was, off in the distance there was some noise, some disturbance. The soldier left him just standing there and went to take care of the disturbance, whatever it was. And whenever the disturbance was over, it was too late, and he put him back in the little metal box and locked the lock. He understood that Providence or God had protected him because there was a purpose for him to fulfill. And he maintained his poise and equanimity with that conviction somehow. And at least in his case, it somehow continued. So there are circumstances that in our life that aren't as severe as that one. What's alike is they're beyond our control. Some circumstances are beyond our control. And what are we to do? The circumstances are not necessarily going to change. What is needed, the message of this weekend is that Krishna's arrangements are Krishna's arrangements. It doesn't mean we'll always say yes to the arrangement, but we should always say yes to Krishna and then take an appropriate action for the situation. Let's go on. Here's another message, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, taken from Sharanagati. This is his introductory song. Here's the first line. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Jive Doya Kuri, Swa Parshada Sviya Dhamma Saha Avatari. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu descended from the eternal spiritual world along with his personal associates and divine abode, incarnating in this temporary material world out of compassion for the fallen souls. Atyanta durlaba prema kari bhari dan shikaya sharanagati bhakatera pran. In order to freely distribute the gift of ecstatic love of God, which is very difficult to obtain, he taught the path of sharanagati, devotional surrender to the Supreme Lord. This sharanagati is the very life of the true devotees, and emphasis goes to that bhakatera pran at the top. Literally it means the air of life of a devotee. Surrender to Krishna. The circumstance may be good or bad, sadasad yoni janmasu, that we have by our involvement with the material energy, trying to be enjoyers of it, we find ourselves in such and such circumstance. Whatever the circumstance may be, and however you address yourself to the circumstance, take shelter of Krishna. It's the life, the very life air, literally, but the life of the true devotee. This is the progress part. The intention is not to make this a nice place. It's a fool's project. We can live according to the standards given by Scripture, and by that influence of good activity and shelter in Krishna, circumstances on earth and in our lives can change. But the goal is not get the change of circumstance. The goal of life is to go back to Godhead. Next. And when Krishna sees that one is so devoted to him, serving him with love, he says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam opiyantite. I spoke on this verse last night in wherever we were, in Virginia or someplace. And no, back, please. So there's two parts. There's our part and there's Krishna's part. That's relationship. From our side, satata yuktanam, constantly engaged, specifically in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation and commentary. It's that the constantly engaged in what? Is devotional service, but devotional service specifically, gain association with Krishna. To restore our loving relationship with Krishna. The world of complications surrounds us. Let me make my life dedicated this time, out of so many lifetimes that have been used in other ways, to just restore my eternal loving relationship with Krishna. Satata yuktanam. With feelings of love. Striving for that at least. And when Krishna sees that, dadami buddhi yogam tam. The explanation given is, Krishna then supplies not only the intelligence of how to go back home, back to Godhead, but even more immediately, to be in his association, always, in all circumstances, the good and the bad and the mixed, in the present moment, not waiting till some future, after this life, maybe go to the good place, instead of the bad place. But presently, and Tesham evanukam partam aham agyana jam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto gyana dipena basvata. Our existence involved in material nature is too long to calculate. Since time immemorial, and that's a long time, we've been involved in matter. So far back in time and back in time and back in time, we can't even trace out. The tendency to be involved with matter is very strong. So even when Krishna gives his association such tendencies, lingering tendencies like the blades of the fan continuing to spin, those long-standing tendencies to be involved with matter, Krishna addresses. He shows special mercy from within the heart of the living entity. He destroys, with the shining lamp of knowledge, those very tendencies. Not only the current, but even the tendency for once again returning to that position. When one is so qualified, like the previous verse describes. Next. So this is a little story that says a similar thing, except there's some difference. Maybe some of you know already the Chinese farmer story. It goes like this. Once upon a time, there was a Chinese farmer. And the Chinese farmer not only had a farm, but he had a horse. So the other village people approached the Chinese farmer and said, "Oh, you're so fortunate. You have a horse. So it makes it so much easier for you to plow your field. We don't have a horse. You're so fortunate." And the Chinese farmer said, he was a Taoist, he said, "Good fortune, ill fortune, who can say?" After some time, the horse ran away. And the village people went to the farmer and said, "Oh, what misfortune, your horse ran away. Now you have to plow your fields like us." And the farmer said, "Good fortune, ill fortune, who can say?" And after some time, the horse came back. And not only the horse came back, but he came back with a number of other wild horses. So now he had many horses. And the villagers came to the farmer and said, "Oh, good fortune. Now you have many horses. You can plow your fields very quickly." And the farmer said, good fortune, ill fortune, who can say? And after some time, the son of the farmer, who was trying to break the wild horses so they could become tame and they can help plow the field, he fell off the horse and broke his leg. And the people of the village came to the farmer and said, oh, what misfortune, your son broke his leg. And the farmer said, good fortune, ill fortune, who can say? And after some time, the Chinese government declared war. And this is a Chinese story. And and there was a conscription that said all able-bodied men over a certain age, they had to join the armed forces and fight in the Chinese war. So when the military people came to town, they found the farmer's son had a broken leg, so that he stayed behind. So the people of the village came to the farmer and said, oh, how fortunate you are. Your son didn't have to go off to the war because he had a broken leg. And the farmer said, good fortune, ill fortune, who can say? Now, as far as, that's the end of the story, by the way. As far as I can see, at least from from my college days, and the philosophy professor that I had was a Taoist. It was the go with the flow idea, like, you know, nature is inexorable and it moves, and a Taoist is one who just goes with the flow. If it goes this way, you go this way. If it goes that way, you go that way. Siras, like that. But a devotee has that transcendental to the good circumstance, bad circumstance, or good fortune, ill fortune, facing it and addressing it and whatever they may do with it, they never forget their shelter. And the energy and the effort and investment of consciousness goes to the taking shelter of Krishna. Now, it's easier said than done. That's going back to the very first statement. The practical application of the devotional teachings that we have been given. This is what separates the men from the boys. Or those that progress and those that don't progress. You know, the teachings don't need to change. Our consciousness needs to match the teachings and apply the teachings to circumstances. Now, once again, there are circumstances external to us that are outside of our control. And we all have bodies and minds that are, you know, not necessarily the one that we might have selected from the menu of possibilities. But we got one. And we have to utilize it in a way that we're acknowledging, we're saying yes to Krishna, and we're taking shelter of Krishna, and we're, to our best capacity, addressing in a Krishna conscious way, with guidance from Super Soul, and guidance from the Vaishnavas, and guidance from the elders in our Vaishnav Sangha, how we can best carry on the path back to Krishna. Next. So there's the path back to Krishna. There's the world in which we find ourselves, and it is what it is. And there's lots of people that are making it more of whatever it is, better or worse. And then there's the path back to Krishna. So we need to address our ways of life in a practical way, yes. At the same time, not lament or be in great exaltation when some good fortune comes our way, because that may change shortly. And stay fixed on making our progressive steps of progress on the path to Krishna. So we're going to be hearing many different... This is introduction. This isn't like the answer to these themes. It's just laying the backdrop or framing the subject matter that we're going to be diving into while we're here together in Gita Nagari this weekend. And will offer our obeisances to our founder Acharya, seeking guidance from him, and take shelter of Krishna's holy name. There's planned to have nice kirtan in the course of our time being here. So take advantage of the whole program while you're here, and participate in the discussion parts, because our speakers have given a lot of energy to considering how to best make their presentation lively and interesting and educational, something that you can take home. Take notes, because some of the presenters will be offering practical suggestions to you. Take notes and see in the course of the weekend that we're together if there's something or a few some things that are especially resonate, and you know, practically you can apply when you go back to your wherever you came from and carry on with your devotional life. And I'm sure, because there's a number of people that are here for the first time, and they don't know all of you. So please reach out to those people you don't know and find out who they are, and establish some nice friendships. This just happened this previous weekend. It was the grand opening of the Houston New Temple, because they've had an old little church house that was literally falling apart, and they really literally had to have another building. So it took a number of years, but now it's completed, and devotees came from all over the place, and it was nice to be with people who we didn't know and got to meet them and made friendships and association, and in some cases lasting relationships. So same here. Take the opportunity to serve one another, greet one another. Again, especially those of you that have been here many times, it's a nice opportunity to see your dear friends and so forth. Make sure you also extend to people you don't know so they feel welcome and encouraged to be here in the association of devotees. So any comments or questions? You can turn the light on if you would. Yeah. When you're acting according to your
purpose.
Well, in your case, you've got an easy solution. Go to Nityananda Pran and you ask him. Isn't it? So it's not like, every moment to moment to moment, do I tie my shoelaces left first or right one first? So it's not, micro, but it's more directional of as far as nature is concerned and purpose. So these kinds of things, to be guided by someone that's proximate, who knows us, and also dear friends who know us, because they've associated with us, and therefore they do have an understanding of our nature and so forth. So those persons who are closest, and those who we take shelter of because of their seniority and their wisdom and their purity, they can see what we can't see because of our attachments. And the second answer is, as life progresses, both things become, that were less clear, become more clear. It's just how it works. And a second thing is, at least my experience, not only in my own life, but in the lives of others, is there's times for this, and later on there's times for that. You know, so meaning somebody, because of the circumstances of their life, may take their life in this direction. And then it's almost as if, like, you know, Krishna winds it down and something else comes in and there's some indication. Again, through the collaboration, but I've seen it on many devotees' lives, some other phase of their life or stage of life that it's not like they become a different person, but your question specifically was purpose. It may shift and be open for that. Again, in a collaborative way, but you know, the second part I was saying is that indication opens as time passes, things become more clear than they were at the beginning stage of devotional service. So be patient with that. But also be open to some shift or change in direction by different indications, especially under guidance. Anything else? Whoa. We don't have a wireless, huh? Go ahead. Yeah, you want to go back to that? Just don't do it. Can you do it at once? Just like back? Whoops, not that far back. That one? Can you make full screen? Oh, that's an interesting screen, but that's not the right one. She has a very special computer. Okay, there we go. You just want to copy it. Oh, okay. Anyone else? Yes.
We can choose not to accept Krishna's arrangements for us, but we should accept him.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
Thank you.
You said we should accept
him. I said there some arrangements are supposing someone is abusive. Like with Prahlad Maharaj. Or Haridas Thakur. Now, they're like superlative. Or Ambarish Maharaj. They're on the topmost platform. So they didn't make any arrangement. Krishna made all the arrangements. In our case, there may be some circumstance that's... We shouldn't stay in a circumstance that's, you know, crosses the line of, you know, what's appropriate. So we don't have to just subject ourselves to inappropriate and abusive circumstances. The message here is not, acceptance doesn't mean those kinds of things we just say yes to. But when we say yes to Krishna, my point was, then you will be given the intelligence of how to best serve Krishna in that circumstance. And one of the best ways to serve Krishna may be remove yourself from the circumstance. Because that necessarily, saying yes to Krishna doesn't mean necessarily staying in something that's God-awful or unsuitable or inappropriate. or abusive. That's what I meant. Does that help? Okay. Someone else had their hand up? Can you just speak because the microphone is not... Back there, yes. Ah. You have two questions. Usually you have two questions. I'm not really sure what you're asking. There's two different natures. There's our spiritual nature and there's our psychophysical nature. The conditioned one. So you're not asking about, you know, your swarup. You're asking about your conditioned nature, isn't it? I can't hear. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Try again. That's good. Yes, now should be able to hear. If I can't hear, I'm in trouble.
Practically, what to do with the rest of my life? How will I understand what is the calling of my life? So I'm.
For the rest of you, like you're however many years old until you croak, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. How to understand what that is? That's what you're asking? Well, it's similar to the question he was asking. It's not the same, but it's similar. So, I mean, there's some practical, obvious things. One of them is you've made certain decisions in this life that have determined your career, your wife, your son. You know, others may be like, you know, the house and, you know, which car you drive and those kinds of, they're far more variable. But there's some other commitment that you've made, and now, given that, you know, properly executing those responsibilities to particularly your two dependents, your wife and your son. And to do that, it requires a lot of strength, a lot of purity in Krishna consciousness. So that's like a general direction of duty or calling. But then you can even more specifically look at, and with the assistance of others who are guiding you, look at what are the gifts that Krishna has given you? What is it that you're particularly gifted at doing, or you get energy from that? You really, really just like that. Maybe it's like Prahlad here, he likes drawings. He can make drawings till the cows come home. And some other people, it's kirtan. Some other people, it's different things. So what is it that the gift and the ability and that which Krishna has given you that you can do well and gives you lots of strength and enthusiasm? You can just do it and do it and time flies and you can... And then others that besides, you know, the subjective, those that know you well, ask them. What is it that you see in me that's me? That's like, you know, a gift or a quality or an ability or something, and you have, let's, can we have some discussion about how to grow that What are the ways in which that might be cultivated and grown? It's something like, your question reminds me of something like a horticulturist who looks at a bunch of seeds. Now, you and I are not horticulturists. We can't tell this seed from that seed. They're just seeds. But they know this one is this kind and that one is that kind. They may even be able to tell what color of the flower or something, just by the seed. So some persons have that gift from Krishna, and interacting with such persons who have such a gift can help you understand your nature and that calling or purpose. But these other features are also things that can be done. And just be observant. And again, we're going to be hearing about this. I know of two other speakers who are going to address this topic to some degree. Stay tuned. Okay.